GreatSuccess.com.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege of learning from you again today. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that as many as should be here today, bring them speedily and let everyone be visited. Father, this topic, you want to actually bring about liberation. You want to show us the things we are missing. Lord, I pray that you visit everyone. Let everyone be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains the wells of water places, recognizing and maximizing opportunities in life and destiny. God always uses people. When Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to your bosom." Why did he say men? He could have just said, "Shall God give to your bosom," which means men are part of the package of the blessing that God wants to give you. If you and I don't relate with people well, and we just think, "Oh, the blessing will come from God," then we may just be missing out on the blessings of God, because God will use people. And many times it will use people you don't like. So if I'm always waiting for people I like for God to use them for me, I may just be missing out on destiny. So that was last week, and we saw how everything about Peter turned around the moment he met Jesus. And Jesus just told him, "Hey, cast your net to the right side of the boat." Which brings us to the topic today, places. The wells of water, places. Places are as important as opportunities, if not more important. The place you are determines the type of opportunities that will come your way. So if I'm in the wrong place, what will be coming my way? Wrong opportunities. If I live in the wrong place, wherever I live determines what kind of neighbor I have. Do we know that? If I live in Lagos, I will have neighbors in Lagos. I can't have neighbors in Ibadan or Canada or Ekiti. No. They may be from Ekiti. They may be from all these other places, but they are going to be in Lagos. So let's say the person God has ordained to bless me is supposed to be in another city. I'm in a different one. You can see we've already missed the opportunities, and there is nothing we'll do until we move to the right place before the blessing begins to come. So it's time for us to actually check where you are, where I am, to say, "God, am I in the right place? Am I living in the right place?" Because locations really, really matter. We can be casual with our lives as Christians, and as children of God, we must be at the right place at the right time. We can't just live our lives to chance. Ask God, "Where I'm living now, this house I'm living, is it the right place? This city I'm living, is it the right place?" We can see several examples in the Bible that shows us that where we live really matters. The house we live matters. The city we live matters. Everywhere you are, location is super important, geographical location. If we miss it from that point, we will just miss so many of the blessings of God. For example, there are certain occasions in the Bible that shows the importance of places. For example, Elijah, when he was going to be taken up by the chariot of fire, guess what happened? He walked and walked, even crossed the river, performed a miracle to cross River Jordan, right, with Elisha. And he walked and walked until what was supposed to happen happened. He knew what's going to happen. He was just walking and going and going and going. The question is, the chariot of fire are not limited by time and space on earth. They could have carried him anywhere. They could have carried him from his room. They could have carried him outside his room. When it's time, we just say, "Okay, come out now, we are ready to carry you." No. Why did he have to walk and walk and walk? And Elisha was being made jest of by the sons of the prophet. Why did that have to happen? Well, we don't know. That was just God's decision. And that's how, once you become a child of God, see, these things may not apply to people of the world, but as a child of God, you and I must be sensitive enough to know places, the right places per time. Another example is Abraham. He walked about 3 days to a place God was going to show him. to go and sacrifice his most precious son that he waited about 25 years to have. Can you imagine that? Is it not enough that he was going to kill his son, the only son that he waited for 25 years to have? See, I've heard stories of people waiting 10 years, 20 years, maybe 30 years. But I know it's not a simple thing. I've seen people wait 7 years very well. 7, maybe 10. I know it wasn't an easy experience. Every single day, you are expectant. Every single day, they are waiting. Is it today? They do another test, negative. They do another pregnancy test, negative. Now imagine somebody waiting 25 years. At old age, it was a complete miracle to have that son. And God said, now I want you to sacrifice that son. And before you sacrifice him, you now work for 3 days. That means God gave him enough opportunities to change his mind. And this guy went. Why did God choose a place? Well, that's God's decision. Another example is, Jesus was going to heal a man. He put clay on his face and he said, go to the pool Siloam to go and wash. The same Jesus could have done the same thing anyhow without telling him to walk. How do you tell a blind man to walk to a pool? He doesn't even know any pool. Whichever way, he found his way to Siloam. That was the place the miracle was going to happen. Jesus healed many people on the instant. However, this one, he said, walk. Another example, Jesus told Peter, cast your net to the right side of the boat. Like I said last week, and you know, Bishop Oyedepo normally says that, there was a difference between the left and the right side of a boat. It's water. Fish will move in maybe seconds from the right side to the left side or left side to the right side. So why can't you catch fish anywhere you put your boat? But Jesus said, at the right side. If you put it at the left, maybe one big fish will just swallow their nets and they will still lose everything. So as Christians, we must be sensitive to the particular place God wants us to be or God wants us to do something. They are very important. Let's look again. Jesus told his disciples, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Why didn't he let them go somewhere else? He said, no, in Jerusalem, stay there until I give you power. Another thing, Jesus, after his resurrection, he said, meet me in Galilee. Why did he choose Galilee? He could have told them to stay where they are. Why? We don't know. That's just the nature of God. He decides places that he wants at any point in time. Another time, Jesus was going to eat the Passover and he told the disciples, go to a particular place. You will see a man carrying something on his head. If they choose to go to somewhere else, Jesus didn't tell them. Maybe they will meet an insane man who will beat the hell out of them. Anything could have happened. So, as Christians, we must be sensitive to places. And how is this lesson useful? Number one, before you move from your current location, ask the Holy Spirit for the mind of God. Some people want to leave. I'm tired of this place. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Before you change your house, ask the Holy Spirit. Before you move from city to another, ask in prayer. Before you move from a church family to another, ask the Holy Spirit. Don't just say, that one is far away. It may be far, but that may be where God has put your blessing. Ask the Holy Spirit. While these things may look like decisions you can make casually, some have lost everything precious in their lives because of these kind of decisions. For example, in church, I've heard testimonies over testimonies that maybe somebody annoyed them or they just felt the church was too far. They decided to go to another church. It's the same God though, in all these churches. The same God in one church is the same God in another. But God can just tell you, this is the particular one I want you to stay. It may be far. You may not like the pastor. You may not like the people there. But if God says stay there, please stay there. These people, they lost almost everything. They went from grace to grass until they came back. And when they came back, everything was restored. Not because that church is the most special church in the world. No, but God wanted them to be there. And then they used their mind, their, wise mind, to do whatever they want. What is the danger of not asking the Holy Spirit about locations? Number one, for example, Naomi in the Bible, she lost everything. Can you imagine that? She went with about 2 sons, with their wives, and maybe their children, and moved to another land. They left God's land to another land. She lost everything. For you to know that this is really important, the ladies that were the wives of the sons, they didn't die. Why didn't they die? They were in the same land. This land is not God's land. It's a pagan land. Yet, the wives didn't die. The sons that she took there, they all died. Maybe the children of those sons also died. When she moved back, everything was being restored to her. Can you imagine that? The children of that land did not die. Only her children died. Because she just moved casually. Oh, there is famine in the land. She moved. Isaac would have suffered in penury and missed the covenant of God with his father if he didn't listen to God, but moved away from that city. And you know what happened? When God said, don't move away from this land, he said, okay. And the Bible said, he planted that same year and reaped a hundredfold and was blessed. He said, he began to be blessed, continued to be blessed, and became exceedingly blessed. Prosperous. That was him. So, you and I must be very sensitive in the spirit when it comes to moving and to locations. Don't just leave your job. Oh, I'm angry with the people I'm working with. Some people, it's just the people they are working with, they're angry with and they want to leave. Don't just leave. Ask the Holy Spirit. I said they send you away. But ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do? Paul was free to preach the gospel. See, Paul was a prisoner. And yet, I don't know how a prisoner is able to preach the gospel. But in all the pagan lands I was being taken to, he was able to preach the gospel in chains. We have the gospel today because God used Paul. In chains, he was preaching the gospel as a prisoner. How did people listen to a prisoner? That's the question. Because being a prisoner alone is enough for people not to listen to him. And yet people were being saved through a prisoner. The moment he went to Jerusalem, what happened to him? He was in bondage. He suffered all manner of problems. He was going from court to court, from problem to problem. The moment he moved to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of God. But when he was in a pagan land where God sent him, he was able to do the work properly. The moment he moved to Jerusalem, end of ministry. And let me just share a personal example also. There was a time we were living in a place in Lagos then, and we were just going through a hard time. Things were so hard, and I was ready to move. I was ready to say, you know what? Let's just go and look for a cheaper house somewhere else. At least that place is even closer to my place of work. The houses there are cheaper. Let's move. And I wasn't being sensitive and I was going to move. But thank God I told my pastor's wife then. I just told her, see, where we are living now, the issue is too much for us. We are practically living to pay the rent. We don't have enough money to pay the rent. Everything we make in a year is going to the rent. And it's almost like we don't even make enough to pay that rent. So why should we be staying there? Thank God she's a woman of the spirit. She just said, relax. Thank God for that word, relax. That was the only word. She said, just relax, be a little patient. I think that time was probably December when we had our son. Fast forward, a few months after that, we were able to buy a car, cash, and debt free. Can you imagine? Just a few months, I think about 8 months after that, everything turned around. So before we bought the car, you know, everything had already turned around before thinking about buying a car. Everything turned around. We were able to start making our rent in about a month. That's our yearly rent in about a month. The same house, we didn't go anywhere else. It was just a little time for us to prosper in that place and we wanted to move. But thank God for a spiritual person that said, relax. Maybe God is telling you today, relax. Maybe you are angry with whatever area of your life, and you want to make a rash decision, and God is saying, relax, relax. Or God is saying, move. Because for some of us, it's move. For some of us, it's relax. Be sensitive to what God is saying. Let's not use emotions to make decisions. That story proves that sometimes logical sense is stupid sense in the kingdom. Because that's logical. I mean, why should you be living in a house that you are struggling to pay the rent? But God said, relax. I wanted you to be in that house. And I remember that when I started living in that house, I didn't just start living in that house. I sensed in the spirit I should stay in that house. I was going to grow to that house. It's not logical. It's not logical since I would never advise anybody to do it. But except if the Holy Spirit says you should do that, you can do it. And we practically grew and grew beyond the house. And even when we grew beyond the house, you are tempted to go and look for a bigger house, at least enjoy the small money you are making in it now, look for a bigger house. I'm talking about a one-bedroom apartment. One bedroom and sitting room. We could rent something bigger by far by the time we left the house. But the Holy Spirit did not give a go-ahead. So we stayed there. I remember another brother in church also that, I knew what he was making. He was making a lot of money. And yet, the two-bedroom or three-bedroom house, one small house I was living, that he lived for, only God knows how long he lived in the house, maybe 15 years or something, the Holy Spirit told him not to leave that house. Even when he probably could buy the house, he didn't leave until God said he should leave. When he left and rented another house, the amount of money he spent on renovating that house alone, the house that was not his own, was enormous. Because now God said he should leave. So let's be sensitive. What are the practical wisdom for drawing from the wells of water? Remember where this idea of the well of water came from. It was from Haggai in the Bible. Remember in Genesis 21:19, it says, "Then God opened her eyes and saw a well of water, and she went and filled the water skin and gave the lad a drink." God just opened her eyes suddenly. And then remember Genesis 28:16, where it says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely God, the Lord, is in this place, and I did not know it.'" And remember, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, and God said, "You know what? Wait. Look to that place. You will see a ram." There is always divine provision surrounding the place where God has ordained us to be. There is always divine provision in that place. What are the practical wisdoms for drawing from your wells of water? Number one, be sensitive in the spirit. This one is super, super important. Be sensitive in the spirit. Which means that at every point in time, the way God will even tell you to leave a place or to stay in a place may be so subtle you can almost miss it. But God is saying, be sensitive. You may just see something, a sign, and it means move. You need to move. Don't say, "Oh, I have all my family around this place. I have all my friends around this place. I'm comfortable with this place." If the Holy Spirit says move, please move. Because the next place it's taking you to is the place where the next blessing is. The moment you miss that, everything will start going wrong in that place that has been going fine. The same way, if you move without God's leading, everything will start going wrong. What I mean is, if you decide to stay when you're supposed to move, that place that has been so good may just turn to so bad. In fact, you may start fighting with your landlord, fighting with everybody, and you're like, "What's happening here?" God forbid the person may lose everything that he has already worked for. So the first thing is, be sensitive in the spirit. Be able to know exactly what God is saying per time. Number two, practically ask the Holy Spirit. If you begin to sense in yourself that, I feel like maybe you are tired of a place, or you are tired of something, of a job, just ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, what should I do?" I remember then I was at a job that what I was paying my staff was more than what I was earning in that job. That's the other staff I have in my business. What I was paying him was far more than what they were paying me as a government civil servant. But the Holy Spirit didn't tell me to leave, so I stayed there. I was always annoyed that I had to stay in that place of work. Number one, everything is so disorganized. Number two, it's the kind of place I just hate to work. Everybody seems to be looking for one free money, corruption here and there. I was so angry that I was in that place. But thank God, I was smart enough to know that don't just leave until the Holy Spirit asks you to leave. And it was only few months before I left that place that I realized why God may have told me to stay. Something important that I needed to get from them that I didn't even know I was going to get from them. But thank God I listened. So the first one is, be sensitive in the spirit. Number two is, practically ask the Holy Spirit. And number three, be obedient at all times. And may God give us that grace to be obedient at all times. There are some decisions that will look stupid. For example, maybe Abraham would have been thinking, "Wait, you want to kill my son? And then you tell me to walk to a place I don't know. Am I not mad enough to think I want to kill my son? Is that not crazy enough to want to kill your son because you hate God that you can't see? And then he also told you, to make matters worse, that you need to walk to a place that he will show you to kill your son." And that's the height of craziness. But you know what? He obeyed. Let's learn to obey God at all times. Be obedient at all times. When God says move, move. When God says stay, stay. Let's not use our tiny brain to begin to explain what God has said. If God says don't, then please don't. If God says do, then please do. Then number four. Number one is be sensitive in the spirit. Number two is practically ask the Holy Spirit. What I mean by practically ask the Holy Spirit is if you are feeling like you want to do something, just ask. And you know what? He's more than willing to answer than we are even willing to ask. Then number three, be obedient at all times. Then number four, don't trust in your own wisdom. See, our wisdom is nothing but foolishness most times. The wisdom I have, whatever I think is right, it can be the most foolish thing on earth. Especially if it is not what God wants. If it is what God wants, any wisdom can be wise wisdom. But if it is not, it will be foolish wisdom. The Bible says, trust not in your own understanding. Let God lead you at all times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. He said, He will direct your paths. May that be your portion, may that be my portion, in Jesus' name. And then number five, be joyful. Be joyful at all times. The Bible says in Isaiah 12:3 that with joy we draw from the wells of salvation. The well of water is what we are talking about. If you want to be at the right place at the right time, or if you want to make sure your right place is functioning as the right place, be joyful. Because the right place may turn to the wrong place if you are not joyful. Imagine when Abraham wanted to obey God, he was just sad and complaining and saying all manner of nonsense. Then the obedience would be nothing. The Bible says, even though he slays me, I will yet praise him. That was Job, I believe. Even though he slays me, so even if God is the one killing me, even though he didn't know it was the devil that was after him, so even God is the one killing me, I will still praise him. That should be our attitude. Maybe something is not working the way you think it should work, and you know you are in the place God wants you to be. You know what? Still be joyful. It's hard, but it's possible. And then number six, God's instructions can change any second. God may tell you, now move to this place. The second day, he may tell you, move away from that place. Yeah, like, we just moved in now. I just got this new job. I just did this. And God is saying, move. Have you heard before about the story of people who just went to another job? And just weeks after, or days after, that job went down. Like, the job was supposed to be the best in the world. And then they hired new people. Can you imagine? They still hired new people. And then a few days after, or a few weeks after, the business was no more. At least I remember Bishop Edeko sharing a testimony about a man that he said maybe when he went to Cardinal So, he saw the man walking on the street and was like, is that not this person? And when he talked to him, guess what happened? The man said, I had a good job and I saw a better opportunity in quotes and I went there. He said, not long after, that job went down. You can imagine, that must be years ago, several years before Papa met him, and he never got his stability again because he just made the wrong decision. That will not be your portion, that will not be my portion. But let's know that God's instructions can change any second. God may tell you to do something yesterday, today is telling you to do another thing. Don't say, but. No, there is no but. Just take that step. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Just follow him exactly the way he said it. Just follow him. Even if things are not going fine, if you have not heard your master, your general saying move, please don't move. Don't move. Remember, Naomi lost everything by going to a place that God did not ordain them to go. Because I know the only reason why they will lose everything is because God did not ordain them to go anywhere. Remember Abraham, he worked for 3 days to go and kill the son. Can you imagine? Worked for 3 days, put the son down, was going to slaughter him, and God said, stop. The instruction has changed. Syllabus has changed. Just look, we see a ram that I'm keeping there for you. That is the real sacrifice. The question is, God, if you know it's ram, we have plenty of ram where I'm coming from. I have so many of them. I could have killed 1,000. And God said, just one ram is that place. That's the one you should sacrifice. It wasn't about the sacrifice. It was just about God testing his heart. And guess what happened? The man prospered, was so rich in all things. The grace for you and I to always know the change in the wisdom of God, in the instruction of God, may be released to us in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the end of the episode today. Father, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you visit everyone, and that even as we go this week, we will be strong enough to obey you, to walk in your paths, to obey every instruction you give us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. We will be sensitive, we will be joyful, and we will be obedient. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode today. Please continue the prayer. The prayer last week is for God to send the right people into your life. And then throughout this week, be sensitive, ask God, question him about locations, about decisions you are making. And I pray that God will empower all of us to be at the right place at the right time. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week. And please remember also, bring one person new when you're coming next week. Be blessed.
A good success.com.